Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our text for this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, in the 21st chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" And we pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. How would you go about winning a war against the best? Now, it happened when Rome, before it was an empire and the best, it actually went up in war against one of the greatest generals of the day, one of the greatest coalitions. It was Greek, and it was led by a great general by the name of Pyrrhus. Now, Pyrrhus was in the Italian peninsula and fought a battle with Rome. In this battle, the Romans lost about twice as many troops as Pyrrhus did. It seemed like they had won the battle. And his officers were congratulating him on a victory. And Pyrrhus responds, "Another such victory, and we will be utterly ruined." The great and wise general Pyrrhus knew that even though Rome suffered loss of twice as many soldiers, there was more where that came from. They were in Italy. Pyrrhus wasn't going to be able to replace the soldiers he lost. He knew when he had been defeated, even though it would have looked like a victory. And if you want to sound sophisticated nowadays, you can call something a Pyrrhic victory. That's where that term comes from, is this victory that was actually a loss, but a victory for Rome. Rome won the day by losing. And today as we look at the text and we look at Palm Sunday, and especially in connection with Good Friday, we see that God kind of works in the same way that Rome did. Something that seemed like a great loss and defeat is actually a great victory. For Christ, the defeat is the victory. We see this in connection with Palm Sunday and Good Friday. And if we see this here, it really alters our whole perception of reality, right, in the here and now as well. It's probably one of the things we should ask as we look at Palm Sunday and the directions that Jesus gives here. Why have this? Why have this here at all? Jesus tells the disciples, "Let's get a donkey. We're going to go into Jerusalem on it." They get a donkey. Why? And of course, yeah, it fulfills prophecy, and that's really important, but we could ask, well, why have a prophecy to do that? Why not just walk into Jerusalem? Why not have that be the prophecy? Well, we see here connection with Good Friday, that on Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem, also called Zion here in the text. He rides in there, but not as a great conquering king, but in lowliness, on a donkey. How does he conquer? How does he win his victory? His instrument of victory is suffering in the cross. So in other words, everything that happens here on Palm Sunday and when we compare it to Good Friday, it really is drastically different than what we should expect from a worldly perspective. Things that seem lowly and a defeat, God works out into a victory. And this, of course, has great implications for us as well. We have a problem with this because it's hard to take to heart that God can work the same things today, that he could use lowliness and a cross to accomplish a victory, something that seems like a defeat. And somehow we can connect that with, that's just Bible time, as things are maybe different now. But shouldn't we expect God to work in the same way too, in a variety of different ways? Think about the disciples in Holy Week. They, from our perspective, they seem foolish. They missed the boat. They didn't understand what was going on. Some of them said, "We're not going to leave you, Jesus. We're going to be right by you." And then they fled. Peter said, "I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm willing to die for you." And then he denies Jesus. He cuts off a guy's ear. They didn't understand what was going on. They were short-sighted. They didn't understand that defeat can be the victory. And we do the same thing in our lives as well, too. We often have a very short-sighted perspective on things. We have challenges, we have problems, we have difficulties, suffering, grief, all sorts of things that come up in our lives. And it's at those times where we especially can begin to doubt our King. But he's the same King. His idea of a glorious procession is lowliness in a donkey. His perception of a victory is a shameful, painful death on the cross. And so how can we accurately assess the reality around us? We really need to question that. And on the other hand, you know, we quickly doubt the way that this King still rules for us today. It's easy to get angry and lash out against God when he doesn't run his kingship the way that we'd like him to. And then we, you know, go through the motions. Our heart really isn't in it. "God, where are you? Why aren't you doing stuff for me?" Or even think about prayer and devotional life. It's easy to let those fall on the wayside. We treat prayer like, you know, is God going to listen? Is he going to help me? Is he going to do something? We quickly think, no. But the problem is really more on us, because we don't understand how our King works, that he views defeat and victory in a very drastically different way. And so often, yes, we do sinfully question his kingship. We should take a great deal of heart in how he runs his kingship, because this is the very thing that accomplished our help and salvation. Yes, he went out of his way to get a donkey, as prophesied, to march into Jerusalem on that donkey, because he wanted us to see his view of glory is lowliness. On the cross, he wanted to see his view of victory is taking on defeat, taking on all the bad, all the suffering, all the injustice on himself. He did it for our good, so that when we look to him, when we look on the cross and look at that this Good Friday, we see all the wrong, all the hurt, all the things that I've done wrong, all the messes I've made in life have been put onto him and are off of me. So when I see Jesus on the cross suffering, I see myself healed in his wounds, that I'm restored in a right relationship with God through his suffering on that cross, and know that my sins are gone. I am clean. I am right with him through this work. And he's created faith in our hearts so that when we see his resurrection, that we see this is also for us too, that he has so much power over death, and that this suffering on the cross was a true victory because he rose again. We know he has the power and will raise us up too. What seemed like a defeat on the cross was truly the greatest victory that could have been accomplished. And so this fact of how Jesus and his idea of victory versus defeat is drastically different from us should really reshape and reform the way we look at and assess the things that are happening around us in our lives. Just like the disciples were confused and didn't really understand many of the things happening around them when they were right in the moment, we should question, you know, what is going on around me? Am I accurately assessing what is a victory? What is a defeat? What is good? What is bad? This is the exact question that Martin Luther struggled with when he, in his Heidelberg Disputation, he said, a theologian of glory, someone who focuses on God and religion with a glory-minded perspective, is going to call things that are bad, good, and things that are good, bad. And a cross-minded theologian is going to be able to assess what really is good and bad. What he's struggling with is saying that from a worldly perspective, yeah, the disciples had no way of figuring out what was going to happen on Good Friday and so forth. They were confused. They saw things that they thought were bad, which were actually good. And this is a great comfort for us, too, when we have many things that might seem very bad. We do have things, difficulties and problems and suffering, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to just fix that in a few catchphrases. But we see a radically different perspective when we look at Palm Sunday and Good Friday, that if our King and his idea of glory is lowliness on a donkey, and if his idea of victory is defeat on a cross, oh, I really do, in a good way, question my assessment of many things around me. Yes, God can work many good things. He has control over all. I can't be sure of what is bad. Through the eyes of faith, rather, faith worked through God's word, I trust he's got this. He's in control, and he's going to help and take care of me. I might not understand what this king's victory might be, but I can understand that through the eyes of faith, this kingship is in control, and he truly does have my spiritual good in mind. This same difference between victory and defeat, his difference in perspective is such a good thing. It accomplished our salvation. I can trust that his kingship is going to be good in my life as well. If you're like me, if someone comes up to you and says, how's it going? I always say good, regardless of if my day is actually like I'm feeling like this is a really good day. If it's even a mediocre day or sometimes a rough day, I'm still going to say good. Sometimes I've wondered, am I being dishonest if I just say good day? Obviously, it's a lot less awkward to just say good, and I'm going to go on and do whatever I got to do. But I would suggest, kind of in view of looking at Palm Sunday and Good Friday, we can't really even assess very well. I can't assess, am I having a good day? Really, if I was going to be totally upfront, I suppose I would say, I'm not in a position to assess whether this is a good day or not, you know. Read the Heidelberg Disputation. But I can't tell you to say that. That's not going to make you friends or get you a date. But I would say that, yeah, say good. Say good, not just because it's less awkward, which, again, that is a big perk, but because through the eyes of faith, somehow we trust this Lord who rode into Jerusalem in lowliness, who accomplished victory through defeat on the cross, and we trust he's the one that can turn defeats into victories. And if a great defeat on the cross is a victory for us, eternal life and salvation, I'm going to be able to trust that he is going to have my back every day until then, even if I don't understand it. Amen. Please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. We sing our hymn.